Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody. Good morning, and you're listening to American Family Radio. The show you've tuned into is called Today's Issues, and I'm Tim Wildman, your host, one of your hosts for the next hour and a half, and I want to welcome you again to AFR. Ed Vitagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning to you, Tim. Happy Monday.
Same to you on this July the what? What is it, Ed?
30th. Yeah. It's the day before my son's birthday.
And my anniversary was Saturday. See? My lovely and talented wife, Allison, she's been lucky enough to have me for 34. I mean, you know.
Blessed enough
to have me for 34 years. We've been married for 34 years as of Saturday.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a nice thing.
Thank you. And your son, Tony, birthday?
Yeah, he's got a birthday tomorrow.
All right. Anybody got anything else going on this week, family-wise, birthday-wise?
Anniversaries.
Anybody you're late with your IRS payment or anything like that? Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Walker, right. Quick, how long you been married?
Going on 3 years. December.
Yeah, that's good.
And they got one little Wildman. Mm-hmm. And now y'all had big plans. You got big plans for a big family, right?
Yeah, we're getting there.
One
down,
at a time.
Six to go.
Well, you might want to throw some triplets in there.
Just move. Hey, that'd be great.
Get it all out of the way.
Move it along in there.
I mean, your life will just be non-existent for 3 or 4 years.
But, yeah, but who cares?
But right? Once you get past that,
no.
Man, you're just...
I think you've underestimated 3 or 4 years, Ed.
Well, then I would have, you know, three people to help me in the yard. So.
That's right. Well, you get them to the place where they can make their own peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You will have hands on the farm, Walker. In the old days, that's where they used to look at it.
You'll be uh-huh. Sons. Have you got that yard cut yet?
We got a big farm. We need a big family. Yeah, Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Enjoying the conversation. Enjoying the conversation.
You come from a big family? Or
No. Okay. I had two sisters.
Two sisters. Three.
Yep.
That's what I had.
Fairly small. But, you know, today it's not so much more hands for the farm. It's now it's time to buy the van.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's when you right. get up to six kids, you know, the nice truck that you've been driving there, enjoy it now. That will not be suitable for six, seven yeah. kids, you know.
What I hear.
All right, Walker, what's going on that there internet?
Yeah, a couple things here. We're live streaming on Facebook. You can watch the show there.
Can you be dead streaming? I'm just curious. Is there a way to
not? Yeah, that would be a non-live video. So like an archived video, that'd be dead streaming.
And it's, you know, in reference to tape delay. It's live. You're
live.
Streaming it live.
Got it.
You can stream
in real time.
Previously recorded programming.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Film before a live audience.
Yes.
So. Mm-hmm. All right, Walker, how are we doing this? I'm sorry I interrupted.
Yeah.
It's rare.
No, it's usual. We're doing it on Facebook and YouTube. Both those you can watch the show. And then you can always visit our website, afr.net, and listen to past shows.
If I go to Facebook or YouTube, what do I type in to watch this show?
You'll type in today's issues. And then our web page will pop up, and then on that web page you'll see the live video stream.
Have we been shadow banned? How would you ever know?
If we have, I wouldn't know it.
Right, that's
true.
That's
the thing.
True. I answer my own question.
So all those folks who are out there who are not getting our feed, please let us know.
Right.
If you're not, you know,
like those who aren't listening,
yeah.
to let us know.
Right.
Like the pastor who says, "Now everybody, within the sound of my voice, you listen to me."
Yeah. Or the pastor who berates the people who are at church.
That's very annoying.
Because of the people who aren't there.
I've seen that happen many times before. Yeah.
We got to start attending church regularly.
Do you hear
the
me,
poor folks who are there.
Do you hear me, choir?
We're here, pastor.
I know. All right. Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred. And
good morning. Well, listen, before we get into the political stories of the day, we had Dr. Robert Jeffers on last week talking about the 150th anniversary of First Baptist Dallas, which was held yesterday. So I've been reading some of the things that happened there. Do you know there are people from Oklahoma that commute to First Baptist Dallas?
What?
Well, yeah. Now, Oklahoma's probably From downtown Dallas, I'm guessing Oklahoma's 100 miles.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Like the story that I read about it, they commute in to go to First Baptist Dallas.
Wow.
Now, that's a special church.
Yes.
You commute 100 miles to go to church. But yesterday, as part of the 150th...
You let gas prices go up and get back to me.
As part of the celebration yesterday, at the end of the service, they had 6,000 people that showed up. And waiting for them at the end of the service, there were 7,000 cupcakes.
7,000
cupcakes? 7,000 cupcakes. That's big.
Were they all consumed?
I guess some people took two when they're on their way. They did it at the end of the service, so you weren't chewing on cupcakes or eating cupcakes during the sermon.
It
so at the end of the service.
Kind of reminds me of the Old Testament story about the quail. I think you're going to have cupcakes running out your nose.
7,000. Because there's going to be a lot of people who won't get cupcakes, and you're going to have a bunch of folks taking bunches with them.
Can you imagine the bakery in Dallas that got that order? We'd like 7,000 cupcakes.
I got to tell you, I don't want to sound like Judas Iscariot here. You never want to sound like that. But when you said 7,000 cupcakes, I said, seriously? You're going to spend money on 7,000 cupcakes.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah. I know. That makes you sound like Judas Iscariot. You know, but
Ed's judging again. All right. So
now you throw in 500 pizzas now.
Yeah. Maybe change your tune there, huh?
Change my tune a little bit there.
Yeah. Maybe they did that in the evening service. I'm not sure.
All right. So,
all right. Back to politics.
Congratulations, by the way, to
that's
Dr.
Fantastic.
Jefferson, the folks there at First Baptist Dallas.
Great time. All right. President Trump, not a surprise that we would lead off with his latest, but basically he's saying he's willing to shut down the government unless he gets money for border security, including his $25 billion, is it? $25 billion to finish off the wall?
I think that's what...
That was the original figure.
That's the figure of what it would take.
What it would take to close off that wall. So it's kind of interesting. He had a meeting with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan on the last Friday, just before they went home for their little break. And there's some skepticism as to whether the president will get that before the election this fall. And the indication is that maybe he's willing to wait. But here's Newt Gingrich, former Speaker Newt Gingrich. He was interviewed on Fox and Friends this morning. I thought this was kind of interesting. He basically says that the president is wise to make this an election issue this fall, border security, as opposed to the Democrats who want open borders. Here's what Newt Gingrich had to say. Cut two.
If they end up in October in a fight between a Democratic Party that wants to have open borders with anybody coming in and a Republican Party that wants to protect Americans and control immigration, I suspect the Democrats lose that fight. Who's more radical? Is it more radical to want to have a wall, or is it more radical to want to have open borders? If he can make that clear enough, this will, in the end, in October, be very expensive for the Democrats.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, we said through the years that we've gotten to know Donald Trump a lot better since, 2015, when he announced he was going to run. So many times we've said, no, he can't win on this. You know, he's wrong tactic, the whole thing, but I believe he is going to be out there doing town halls two or three a week between now and Election Day. And this is a winner with most of the American people. I think Newt Gingrich is right. Securing our southern border. Somebody was saying last week, you want to end this whole controversy about separating kids from their parents, parents who have come across the border illegally. Secure the border. That will end that drama.
Well, especially when you combine that issue with an economy that's humming along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is one of those things where, under normal circumstances, a presidential candidate trying to get people to go to the polls, you know, starts talking about illegal immigration, and the Democrats in this case could say, "Yeah, you're saying that because you wanted to take the eyes off the lousy economy, and that's why you're bringing this up." But that's not the case here.
Nope.
The economy's humming along. Looks like it might even get better. Like you said, he's winning some of these deals. The EU talking about, you know, okay, let's talk tariffs and improving trade. All that's going well, and I think this is one of those emotional issues that really is a winner. And why the Republican leadership doesn't seem to be willing to make this a campaign issue for the fall. It's always mind-boggling, but Trump, maybe he will.
Yeah, President Trump needs to stick to this, though. If he's going to float this idea out there that I'm willing to do this or that, he needs to do it, because if he signs another one of these bills that doesn't fund his wall, which was his number one campaign priority, then myself and others who support him are going to start to think that he's becoming more and more a part of Washington, where they're all talk and no action. Now, he does do a lot of good. You know, he's tough on the tariffs. He goes over to NATO and demands more funding. You know, but when he gets back to Washington and it comes to dealing with Congress, they're not doing anything. So if he's going to float that out there, I'm going to shut down the government, then he needs to shut it down, and he needs to stay committed to it until some kind of victory comes out of it.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Your turn.
I don't think he'll do that, Walker.
I didn't say he would. I said he should.
No, I agree with you. I don't remember a president ever sticking with shut down the government more than a week or two. Do y'all?
No, it puts tremendous pressure on
everybody.
Because usually these are principled stands on the part of conservatives against Democrats, big government Democrats, with the media on their side. Mm-hmm. So the pressure ratchets up, just goes from 0 to 100 immediately. And so it is a very difficult thing to do. On the other hand, if you want to get your base to the polls during an off-year election, when you really are up against it, the map, my understanding, the map for Republicans, especially in the House, is the worst it's been in almost 90 years. Just because of so many people who've retired and those kind of things.
In the House.
In the House, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
if I were President Trump, to your point, Walker, I wouldn't have said this if I wasn't willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that remains to be seen, and I could be surprised. He may do this and stick with it, but I don't think so because of the pressures that Ed just that's the reason no president has ever kept on with a shutdown.
Well, the pressure would build against Republicans across the board. So you'd have a lot of Republicans being forced to choose. Do I stick with the president on this, or do I come out against what the president is doing because my seat is at stake?
Well,
that's a difficult position.
It could work out this way, not to get too much down into the weeds here, but the House could pass along party lines. The Democrats, they don't want a border.
Right.
They just flat don't want a border. They don't want ICE. They don't want a border. Most of the Democrats, I'm saying. And I say that about people who say, oh, yeah, they do. I'm going to say for all practical purposes, I'll put that caveat in there, because the Democrats, they'll say they're for a border, but then everything that they do is against a border.
Everything you need to have a border,
they're against it. Yeah. They're against. So they're not. They if they say they're for a border, they're not for a border, or at least for a border wall. But I could see the Republicans voting for the funding for the wall, and then the Democrats voting, stopping it in the Senate with the filibuster, and then the president says, "Well, we tried.
Right.
We tried. We got our best shot. We need more Republicans." So I guess that would be a way. But it'll be interesting to see, because President Trump,
it's his signature issue besides the Supreme Court.
Right.
This is his signature.
And this is
issue.
How many times now that he's done what all other presidents have done with
the. He started saying the same thing last February.
Right.
And what was it, in May when they voted for the.
And he didn't do it then.
Uh-huh.
Now, he said at the time, I'll never do it again, because but I had to for the military.
That's right.
Funding. So I guess. Let's just wait and see what happens here. But I do think the president's credibility is on the line with his base because of what he tweeted on Saturday and what he said a few months ago as it relates to border wall funding. As Walker said, that's his signature.
A government
issue.
Shutdown may be unpopular with the media, largely unpopular. He would get hammered for it day in and day out. But it's also unpopular amongst his supporters for him to continually not get funding for the wall.
Right.
And so it's whether he wants negative feedback from his own people and Republicans. Conservatives are not going to be happy about this.
If he doesn't, but he's not going
to
get it.
But I think we have to remind people too when we say government shutdown.
Put that in quotes. And President Trump did the day in his tweet.
But, you know, Obama, there was a government shutdown during his years. And I mean, there were a few national parks.
The government doesn't really truly shut down.
It doesn't. People get their Social Security checks and their Medicare, and all of that is still looked
after. And the government employees are back paid.
Yes.
Right. They're back paid. If I'm a government employee and I got a house note to meet, I don't.
Right.
I want my money, but they know every time they know that they're going to get back pay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's not as dramatic as
some make it seem.
That's for sure.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. As far as I know, this show will not be shut down, or there's not a threat to shut it down by any. But you're not going to shut it down, are you, Ed?
I will not shut it down.
See, Ed's not even threatening to shut down the show.
No threat.
We don't have.
I don't get funding for.
Well, we do need funding.
Pizza funding.
Okay.
You know?
Pizza funding must come through, or Ed will shut down the government over pepperoni.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you got?
All right. Well, the president has got a tremendous asset that has come to the forefront, an election asset. And her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Ocasio-Cortez.
Every time she opens her mouth, I think there are more people want to vote Republican. Because she was on...
Who is she again now?
She just won a Democrat primary in New York.
What's her name?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Wow.
She's in her 20s. She's in her 20s. You remember, what was it, last week, the week before last, she was out campaigning with Bernie Sanders.
Right.
They went to Kansas City together. Because she is of the same political philosophy, free Medicare for everybody, free education for everybody... Well, she's been on a few programs where she was asked, who's going to pay for all of this? And the latest program was Comedy Central. The host was Trevor Noah. Here's the question, and here's how she responded to, how are you going to pay for all this free stuff for everybody? Here we go.
If people pay their fair share, if we reversed the tax bill but raised our corporate tax rate to 28%, which is not even as high as it was before,
right.
If we do those two things and also close some of those loopholes, that's $2 trillion right there. That's $2 trillion in 10 years. It's going to take $3 to $4 trillion to transition us to 100% renewable energy economy. So we got $2 trillion from folks paying their fair share, which they were not paying before the Trump tax bill.
Right.
Now, if we implement a carbon tax, that's an additional amount of a large amount of revenue that we can have. And then the last key, which is extremely, extremely important, is reprioritization. Just last year, we gave the military a $700 billion budget increase, which they didn't even ask for. They're like, we don't want another fighter jet. Like, they're like, don't give us another nuclear bomb. You know?
Right. She's sucking helium. Huh? Is that really her,
whatever that was, 60 seconds I'm sorry, but that was one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Yep.
A politician say. I understand she's a newbie.
Yep.
Okay. And this has nothing to do with the fact that she's Hispanic. Okay. I don't want people thinking I'm going after her because she's Hispanic. I'm talking about socialist ideas like she just laid out. Mm-hmm. That was idiotic. When she said the military hasn't even asked. They don't want another fighter jet. They don't want another nuclear bomb. She does not know what she's talking about. We have, at any given time, we have a third of our fighter jets are grounded because we're cannibalizing parts.
Yeah.
Know, to keep them flying.
And pilots are dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is insanity.
And our military personnel have not had a pay increase until this year. Now, let's
you're
go.
You're saying she's a gift. But you said you introduced her as a gift to President Trump.
That keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Now, let's go through. She had 3 points. She wants to do away with tax reform. So in other words, folks, your paycheck's going to go down. You know, the benefits that you got just several months ago because of tax reform.
He's grabbing it.
Yeah. We're going to take some of that back. And we're going to put higher taxes on our corporations again. That'll chase them offshore again. They'll leave. They'll leave town. Oh, then she wants to add to, so you're going to have less money coming home in your paychecks. Then she wants to add a carbon tax. Does everybody understand what a carbon tax is? Basically, it's a tax on the energy that you're using.
Right.
The more you use, the more we're going to charge you. So We're going to take away benefits as far as your taxes, your take-home pay. Then we're going to make you pay more for any energy you have, your gasoline for your car, your gas for your heating your house.
So if you live in cold weather states in the wintertime, and because not everybody lives in Arizona or New Mexico where the weather's fairly stable. Mm-hmm. Or if you live in the South that has very, very hot summers, okay, you're going to be hit in the wallet.
Yep.
Increased tax.
And then let's pound the military, too. So there's three things that are real winners for President Trump.
If you're a Democrat and you don't think our government's already big enough, I mean, what's big enough? I mean, we spend trillions of dollars each year and half of it's money that we don't have, and we want to do more?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, if people want government money, you can get it. It's called welfare. You just quit your job, go home, and apply for welfare. And I don't know anybody that's been turned down. So, I mean, this is – and then when she says, you know, we'll get $2 trillion more in increased revenue over 10 years, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't take into account the punishment on the economy that you do,
exactly.
The damage that you do. Mm-hmm. And I know if I have a carbon or a gas tax – I'm going to cut out that, I'm going to go on a shorter vacation.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to spend as much money. And so it's the more you tax, the less the economy grows.
It's going to be interesting to watch. You've got, the Democrat establishment, such that it is, which is very liberal, versus these far left, far, far left.
Right.
Folks like Bernie Sanders, who could have easily won the Democrat nomination had he not been, some say, cheated by Hillary Clinton and her machine. But and this 28-year-old who we just heard, that young lady is in over her head.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Huh?
Because she was talking about the carbon tax, and she said, and that'll get us another good amount of money. She didn't even have a figure for that.
Right.
You know?
Right. And she also, on one level I admire, and it's on this level, she took on a veteran, longtime Democrat congressman.
Bill Crowley.
And beat him. And she probably woke up the next morning going, pinching herself, going, did I really just win? Because I didn't expect to, really.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. She's energetic. She's young. She wants to be involved. Those are all things that we admire. We want people involved.
Right. But her ideology is
and found wanting.
Well, the ideas don't stand the test of time, because she ran the campaign, and then right after that, she started going on these major cable news networks, and they started asking her questions, legit questions about her policies, and she's fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... But it shows, though, that the ideas of Bernie Sanders and others don't stand up to even questions by the mainstream media.
No.
All right.
It's one of those things, I think we have many in the younger generation right now. They have been fed all of this stuff in university classrooms, socialism, and all that sort of thing. But at this point in their life, they don't have to pay for all of this.
You know, neither does Bernie Sanders. They live in their idea is free stuff for everybody, and nobody has to pay for it. Or if they believe somebody has to pay for it, they're going to tax people at 90% or something like that.
It's the magic rich people. You know, there's always the rich people out there. Right. There's a group of people that have the money that we need to fund everything we want, and all we got to do is take it. Yeah. Well. These are real people who know how to shelter their money, and there's not enough of them. They don't have enough money.
Or they would say, we're going to shut down the military to fund all this stuff.
Nuclear bomb.
Right. We will be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Alan Parker about the Moral Outcry petition.
Every pro-life individual in America can record before heaven and before earth in the records of the United States Supreme Court that abortion is a crime against humanity and it should be reversed.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament now, and I'm coming to places that are named that I see on our Israel tour every March. It's really fascinating to think that Jericho existed way back in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, and I can visit there today. The same can be said for Jerusalem. The Bible literally comes to life when you visit Israel, the Holy Land. Now, we're going in March. My wife, Allison, and I, we lead these tours every March. So if you would like to go with us, you need to go to the website and check it out. It's twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Imagine a society where something you did as a child could come back to haunt you in adulthood. Second grade, on the playground, little Billy pulls little Sally's pigtails. Is it possible a grown-up Billy could be called out for such childish behavior? Could grown-up Billy be publicly shamed, forced out of his job? As absurd as it may be, that's the kind of country we've become. A social media mob stands ready to take down anyone by poking and prowling through Instagram pictures and Facebook posts and Twitter messages from our childhood. The latest victim, Atlanta Braves pitcher Sean Newcomb, forced by Major League Baseball to attend sensitivity training for a series of tweets deemed racist and homophobic, tweets that were written when he was in high school. It seems to me the only way to stop the online mob's bloodlust is to shut down your child's social media accounts. You might just be saving their career. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and our news director, Fred Jackson. We appreciate you listening to AFR, and Walker's already told you, if you want to watch this show, go live. Go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there and access the stories that we have been discussing. Hey, you may have heard on AFR about a new product that is available called Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent. And two gentlemen have created this product. And Lynn Ingram is on with us from Abilene, Texas. Lynn is one of the co-creators. He's a listener of AFR and wanted to do something to bless our ministry. And he came up with this product, and we're offering it now. So each purchase of Redeem Clean helps the ministry here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. Lynn, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well, and we're doing really well. I want to tell folks, if you want to read more about this, you want to buy the laundry detergent, go to our website, afastore.net. afastore.net. It's easy to do. afastore.net. Lynn, I am right. You and Jim Duncan, you guys came up with this you created this on your own, didn't you? I mean, this is your own product.
Tim, that is so true. Tim and I have a combined experience of probably 70 or 80 or 90 years in this industry. And like I was telling you when we started about 8 or 9 years ago, I've been listening to you that long, and I've always wanted to figure out a way to support AFA and AFR in addition to what we do locally with our local churches, our home churches. And over the years, we've thought about different things that might work, and the Lord just laid it on Jim and I's heart that this is what we know more about than anything else, is about getting clothes clean. And we just came up with a structure and a product and everything designed exclusively for AFA and AFR.
Yeah.
And so that the proceeds can go and bless your ministry as you engage and equip and educate the public.
Folks, if you're going to buy laundry detergent anyway, we just encourage you to check this out, afastore.net. Everybody buys laundry detergent, almost. afastore.net, afastore.net. And we appreciate these brothers who listen to AFR helping us and be trying to help our ministry grow. And we just appreciate it so much. AFAstore.net. And then, all right, I got the question of the week. And this is why we had you on today. The question of the week is, all right, which works better, liquid or powder detergent?
Great question. I prefer liquid in a residential environment because we use less water. These new high-efficiency machines do not put as much water in there as the old-school ones do, and the liquid detergent is dissolved quicker, and it's more evenly distributed throughout the clothes. And like we talked a couple of weeks ago, always add your detergent first before you add your clothes, because as that tub is filling up, that water gives it a chance to dissolve. Always add the soap before you do that. Powder's great, and I use powder in our commercial application because we can use more water and we have more action in there, and I like powder in a commercial environment. But the deal with powder that you buy off the shelf, as a general rule, they put fillers in there and to dilute it, and most of that is salt. And that is really harmful for textiles, especially if you don't have enough water to flush it off of there.
Yeah. Allison, my wife, the other day, she said to me, we bought our washing machine in the last couple of years. And she said, I don't know how this thing washes clothes. Because she could look at this.
Right.
You got 2 inches of water in here, okay, mm-hmm. or three. And I mean, I really don't see we've gone. Who isn't for saving the planet, right?
Right.
So we want to. Huh? But I mean, I just don't see how you get by with the washing clothes today with as little as water as they use. Go ahead.
And in that case, that's why it's all the more important to get that detergent dissolved as soon as you can, and don't overload them. Because really, what detergent does is, it lifts and suspends the dirt and the grunge and the grime and the sweat and the grass off your clothes. It lifts and suspends it. When you rinse it, it's got to be enough water in there to carry all that dirty stuff off.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, it just redeposits it. So the two things. Number one is don't overload them. Start with your detergent on the bottom. And those are the two biggies on getting it done. But I prefer liquid at home.
So liquid
just does better.
At home, liquid wins over powder.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
And you know, they can always ask us on our customer support questionnaire on the website. If they've got a question, give us a call. Jim and I will respond to every single one of them because we all wash clothes and we all have problems. My wife said the other day, my daughter said, I've learned more about washing clothes since we started developing this than we ever knew before.
Yeah.
So that's part of our goal, is develop a product that makes sense, that'll support y'all, that works. And that's really where we're at.
Amen.
I mean, Tim.
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, you betcha. Thank you, Tim. Y'all have a great week.
Okay. Thank you. That's Lynn Ingram from Abilene, Texas. Been in the laundry business, I don't know, how many decades?
50 plus years.
I've got to correct Lynn on something he said.
Oh, you know more about Lynn?
Well, he said we all wash clothes, and that is not true. I haven't washed clothes since college. Now, I do help around the house. I help clean. I'll wash dishes,
right,
do yard work. you know, sweep, right, mop up, whatever. Which, but well, I, yeah, just don't,
I
do
think
clothes.
Probably you're being a literalist here, and Jim was probably talking generically.
I see. But, okay.
So I don't think you need to take offense to that. Or,
oh no, I wasn't offended.
Disagree.
My wife might be offended.
But you want to make it clear that you don't do laundry.
I just wanted to,
right,
just wanted to
not
be
out. Not all of us do laundry.
I wanted the truth to come out. Sure. I'm for the truth.
My wife did have to show me the other day how to do that. But she, anyway.
Yeah. No, I know. What setting? Yeah. What setting,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah. Because if you don't do it very often, you know, you forget. All right. So go to afastore.net, folks, and please check out the Redeem Clean. Don't you love that name?
I do love
biblical
it.
Name. Mm-hmm. Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent. And if you're going to buy laundry detergent anyway, and you might as well check it out and test it out and see if you don't like it. And it supports our ministry. Every purchase supports our ministry. Redeem Clean. All right, Fred, back to the news desk.
Yeah, and somewhat related to what we were talking about a few moments
Ed
ago.
Ed not doing laundry?
Alexander, well, somebody wants to take you to the cleaners. How's that for a segue?
That was good.
Very
Fred.
Good, Fred.
Very good, Fred.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants to take you to the cleaners. So does Bernie Sanders. The folks at George Mason University, which is not a conservative university there in Virginia, they have costed out Senator Bernie Sanders' claim and wish that Medicare for All, remember you started talking about that,
right,
in the last few weeks? Guess what it would cost Medicare for All over a 10-year period? $32.6 trillion.
Is that with a B?
Dollars.
Is that with a B, Fred?
That was with a capital T.
Trillion.
$32.6 trillion. That's what Senator Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All would cost you. And that's what he had to say about this on the weekend. He said, if every major country on earth can guarantee health care to all, really, and achieve better health outcomes while spending substantially less per capita than we do, it is absurd for anyone to suggest the United States cannot do the same. All right, breaking news for Bernie Sanders. Britain has Medicare for All. Their medical system is a wreck. It's a wreck. Coming from Canada, firsthand knowledge, Canada's medical system, which is government-funded for everyone, is a mess also. There is a reason why, folks, people keep coming to the United States when they want really, really good medical care. It is because you have the option here of getting the very best. But there's Bernie Sanders' $32.6 trillion plan, Medicare for All. Ain't going to happen.
Let me ask you this, though. I do wonder this. Canada, for example, your homeland. If it's so bad, I'm talking about universal health care as they have in Canada, why don't they change it? They must like it. It must do a lot of good for a lot of people. Please don't throw things at the radio at me.
Right.
Or call me up.
I've read people who defend... Right. Both the British system and the Canadian
system.
Right,
don't call me communist.
Well, who's going to change it, though? Because they're run by lefties who think it's a great idea when...
Well, their country could change it. The citizens would demand, but their citizens must be happy with it, Fred.
Well, here's the thing that has evolved in Canada in recent years. For a long time, the government of Canada would not allow any competition. And what was happening, they were losing business. Yeah, medical care is a business. They were losing business to the United States. For example, where I used to live in Vancouver, people who wanted a hip replacement, they didn't want to wait 6 months to a year for a hip replacement, okay? They would go down across the border to Bellingham, Washington, which is just about a 30-mile drive away from Vancouver.
Yeah.
And they'd get their hip replacement next week. And the people would pay cash for it, whatever that amount was. So... In Canada, they fought what they call this two-tier system for a while, but now they say at least we keep the money on this side of the border. So you can, in certain places in Canada, some of the larger centers, you can go and you can pay to get that hip replacement.
And so those people basically pay double, though, because they do pay taxes,
yes,
for the public system,
yeah,
for the universal health care. And then out of pocket, they also pay,
yeah,
in this private kind of parallel track for the care that they want quicker.
Well, more, to answer your immediacy. Question, Tim, you know, why do they keep it? Well, if that's all you have known, because the medical system as it is in Canada, government paid, taxpayer funded, has been around for decades now. So if that's all you know and you have been told, ah, it's far better, and the only stories that you've seen of medical care in the United States is of a woman in Los Angeles who can't afford something.
Yeah.
And that's the only story you have. You say, oh, well, we're blessed up here. Mm-hmm. At least we can go into the doctor's office with my kid, and it's paid for by the government. It's paid for through taxes. And I have to remind people, here's one way they pay for it in Canada. If you go up to Canada today on vacation, you will notice that gas prices are in liters. You're paying $4 to $5 a gallon, folks, for gasoline in Canada. And a huge chunk of that goes to the medical system. Nothing is free. You have to pay for it. And when they run into shortfalls in Canada, when I go home to visit my family in Canada, I see notices in the paper saying this emergency room is shut down this weekend. If you need emergency care, you're going to have to go to the next city to get it this weekend, because they have a budget for that. Yeah. It isn't open-ended. Mm-hmm. There is a budget.
Well, and it's similar, Tim, again, to your question. It's similar to like Social Security. If you've been paying into Social Security all your life, and there are people who say, you know, we need to privatize retirement and people need to be able to contribute to their own. Well, you're basically telling people you're going to have to, you can't stop giving into the Social Security system, because the monies that are coming out of your paycheck are paying for the Social Security benefits of people who are now retired. If you want private retirement, you want to privatize your retirement, you also have to start paying into, so you have to do both. I'm guessing that's the case too in Canada. You want to try to go on a more private, you know, track. You're still paying for the four or five liters of, you know, the gas. Mm-hmm. You're still paying into the public system, yep, the universal system. Yep. So you'd basically have to do both. And who's going to want to go, like, who's going to want to do without Social Security if you were given an option? You've been paying into it all those years.
But your main point here is, Fred, that when push comes to shove, as they say, and people from rich people or wealthy people or people that can afford it, how about that, and they need something serious done, and they're going to have to wait in line in Canada for a doctor to be assigned to. I mean, there's a downside for, you know, the universal health care. I mean, yeah, it sounds great. Everybody gets free, quote, free health care, which is not free, but you also have to take things like you're assigned a doctor, you don't get to pick one, things of that nature. But when push comes to shove, you need a hip replacement, for example, or you need some kind of sophisticated surgery, you come to America. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
A lot of Canadians come to America, and they do from around the world where they have socialized, mm-hmm, medicine. Again, you have to be a lot basically a wealthy person to be able to afford that. But I just wondered, you know, I mean, they have universal health care in other European countries too, right? And in Canada. Mm-hmm. And these are Western countries. So,
in their opinion, probably they do view it as good, because if that's your ideology, that is, government's there to provide health care, even if it's poor quality, they say, well, you know, this is a good thing to do.
Right.
Nobody's turned trade down. Off. So, but you come to America and see how much better ours is.
Right, right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's the next story, Fred?
Well, Chick-fil-A announced last week that for the first time...
They already took slaw away. This better be good. I complained.
You complained?
They don't have coleslaw anymore?
No. I love Chick-fil-A, but I was really... I love their slaw. This is about a year ago. This has been a year ago. I marked it down on my calendar the day they did.
And coleslaw is place either does it right or not.
It was good, but they took it away. I don't know what the reason was. I never was.
You weren't buying enough.
Well, I guess not. Anyway, go ahead, Fred. Sorry, I interrupted your story.
Chick-fil-A for the first time has announced that it's going to start opening stores in another country other than the United States. And Canada is their pick, Toronto in particular. They plan to open up about 15 Chick-fil-A's there over the next several years. And I kind of knew this headline was coming when I heard that announcement. And here's the headline, LGBTQ protests Chick-fil-A's first opening in Canada. And this goes back to the...
Just shut up. Just shut up. Not you, Fred. These people. This whole Chick-fil-A, LGBT, this is 6 years ago, Dan Cathy said he was for traditional marriage between a man and a woman. And that has morphed into this legendary story of Chick-fil-A
being not letting gay people into their restaurants.
It's a lie.
Of course,
that Chick-fil-A doesn't fund anything one way or another, as far as I'm concerned, related to this issue. They've never their founder, well, not their founder, the CEO at the time, said he's for traditional marriage, and all of a sudden, you know, the LGBT community.
That was only his personal opinion, too.
Yeah,
he was being interviewed, and he was asked about it because it was in the news. It might have been, I don't know if it was the year of Prop 8 or what.
Yeah, it
might have been before. But
anyway, I just sigh, these people, you can't please these people.
Well, if this is a boycott, it's been the longest boycott in history. I mean, I think it's longer than six.
And the most unsuccessful.
That's right.
Yeah.
The chicken sandwich. It's a chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A. Anyway, they're opening up restaurants in Toronto.
In Toronto, yeah, that's the plan, to open up.
You know, the leftists, this is the way leftists kind of operate, because Chicago, New York City, Boston, all of those cities, when Chick-fil-A was going to open up restaurants in those cities, they said, no, you can't do it. Of course, it was illegal to do that.
Uh-huh.
And they and to this day, I think New York City, I still see pictures of lines of people waiting to get in.
Exactly.
You put out a good product,
yeah,
people are going to go.
This is the LGBTQ fella up there in Canada, in Toronto. Quote, just a friendly Canadian reminder that we, this is to Chick-fil-A,
yeah,
that we are a progressive country that have morals and fight for equal rights for all. This guy, Chris Lotz, LGBTQ, quote, we don't want your bigoted and discriminatory business opening anywhere north of the border, end of quote.
That's just a slanderous statement.
Yeah.
Maybe not legally, but that's a slanderous statement. How is Chick-fil-A a bigoted restaurant?
These people got to have an enemy. Yeah. They've got to have somebody to beat over the head. They run out of people.
How are they discriminatory?
So the LGBTQ has run out of people to make bow the knee. Tell me what company in America, they're even making Christians who bake cakes.
Yeah.
Trying to make them bow the knee.
Right.
So, I mean, they've run out of people. They're not discriminated against anymore.
Right.
So they got them to create a boogeyman. So you have to go 6 years from one quote.
Yeah.
From 6 years ago, one quote about nothing about being for traditional marriage. And that according to this fella, LGBTQ advocate Chris Lotz, is, quote, bigoted and discriminatory business. As you said, that's a lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What, Nate, give us one instance, sir, of when Chick-fil-A has been bigoted or discriminatory.
Yeah.
One example of discrimination. I'll tell you, he may be right. They do discriminate against bad chicken sandwiches and bad service at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
They do discriminate against that.
A lot of these LGBTQ folks, they make up. They make up stuff.
And it's the media. Media is half responsible because they keep running these stories
and
acting like it's millions of people who are going against Chick-fil-A, but they get two quotes from people.
Right? Yeah. And this is what they did when the Mississippi Religious Freedom Law passed a couple of years ago. I don't know if it's been that long ago. But the law was designed in part to at least protect Christians from being forced to participate in homosexual weddings, Christian business people, for example, people who bake cakes, photographers, but being compelled or forced by the government to do gay weddings or else be put out of business.
Right.
So it was, because this was going on around the country, Jack Phillips, we've talked about. So the Mississippi law was, Mississippi state law was designed, at least in part, to protect the religious people from being forced to do something against their convictions. Well, the Human Rights Campaign and others, they're a gay and lesbian advocacy group, They said, oh my word, this is going to discriminate against gay and lesbian people. They're not going to be able to be safe in Mississippi anymore. And they would use examples like as if a homosexual person would walk into a restaurant for lunch in any town in Mississippi, sit down, get ready to order a meat and three, and the waiter goes, sir, you look gay to me. I'm going to have to ask you before I serve you turnip greens and baked chicken and cornbread. You got to tell me the truth. Are you gay?
Are you or have you ever been?
Yeah. Or if you are, right there is the door.
Yeah.
Because we ain't serving you. Huh? That's the way they were saying
that this Mississippi law
would impact the LGBTQ community. It made it an unsafe place. Well, guess what? That's never happened in the history of mankind, what I've just described, that I'm ever aware of anywhere. Anybody ever ask anybody what their sexual orientation is?
Yeah.
Before they serve them a meal. So that didn't happen before, and it hasn't happened since. It's only... This reminds me of this. It's only scare tactics that are used to. I guess they're trying to punish Chick-fil-A in this case.
I think they're trying to get Chick-fil-A to put out a press statement and say we no longer hold that view on human sex. Our senior management, Mr.
They already have.
They've already recanted.
They did that.
Yeah. We don't discriminate. We don't discriminate. That's what they said.
They've said it over. They've said they did have Walker, but I think you're right. The LGBTQ community, seriously, they have run out of people to find who discriminate against
them. It's no longer a story because the Supreme Court's ruled on it.
They get married.
Right.
They don't have any, there's no more, they got to create a boogeyman now to raise money to say that, you know, we're still.
Here's what they want. They want Chick-fil-A to put out a statement saying, we will now be giving $100 million of our proceeds to the human rights campaign.
To support LGBTQ. Well, that could be true. Yeah. Could be sort of a
or maybe they're hoping that people will not go and they'll go out of business.
What?
They'll go out of business.
And that's not going to happen because we've seen it in Chicago and New York.
People love the sandwich and the sandwiches. They love the food
but
and
the point is, the point is the basis of this criticism is not true.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
As you said, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway.
And the media doesn't ask, can you give us an example of Chick-fil-A discriminating?
That's what a good journalist
and
would do.
Right. Yes. If you really want to stand up for something with Chick-fil-A on this issue, it's bring back slaw. If you want to join me in this, and you want to join the SALW community, SALAW community, huh?
The slaw community.
Well, I think it's bring back BB slaw community, whatever that is.
BBT slaw.
I think so.
Well, the slaw community, I like that.
Slaw community?
I like coleslaw. Okay. I've never had there. I didn't know they had coleslaw there.
Will you join me?
I can't now. They don't have it, but I'll stand at the barricades with you.
Chick-fil-A is discriminating against slaw people, and we need to get to the bottom of this, Fred.
We can add to the list, too. We want a bigger gluten-free menu.
A what now? By the way, what is gluten exactly? Am I supposed to be avoiding this?
Only if you're allergic.
What is it?
If you have a,
is it sugar? It's an element in the grains.
It's something to do with the grains.
So we don't know really.
No, they know.
Yeah. They know, but you don't know.
Because I'm not gluten intolerant.
Well, you are, Fred.
I'm not an intolerant person.
But I know people who are.
I'm very tolerant of gluten.
Okay, well I keep hearing this gluten free stuff and people, but I don't know what it is.
I will say this. I am intolerant of lactose.
I
will say that. There's a little bit of bigotry in me. I am intolerant of lactose, but I am not intolerant.
Okay. Next
of
week's
gluten.
Headline.
That's right.
Hey, I want to thank you for your contributions.
Hey, I will stand with you on the barricade, sir. Okay. Bring back our slaw.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
All right.
Walker?
Yes, sir.
You're sitting there silent like you don't want to be identified with this show.
I'm not joining this conversation.
We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.